The Doctrine of Resurrection. This is we're continuing, so we are not going to use a rebound technique. Doctrine of Resurrection, point one. The term resurrection refers to the time when the believer acquires a new, indestructible, supernatural body that will be the ultimate and external home for his soul and spirit. That's what it refers to. This body will be exactly like the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of substance. We're going to study what that is. Passages that describe resurrection in general terms, Old Testament and New Testament. This doctrine was known in the Old Testament, although the Sadducees rejected the doctrine of resurrection, even though it was taught in the Old Testament. Pharisees accepted it. Daniel 12, 13, Revelation 26 and 13, John 5, 28 to 29, Romans 8, 11, Hebrews 6, 13, Philippians 3, 20 to 21, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 26. We're not doing a whole bunch of Old Testament passages because we're not in the Old Testament, but one will suffice. Daniel 12, 13, but as for you, this is Daniel, go your way to the end. That's the end of his life. Then you will enter into rest. And this, of course, is death. To repose means to sleep. And, of course, the doctrine of sleep also refers to the death of the believer. We're coming up on the S's pretty soon, so we'll study that doctrine in detail. But this is his physical death. So, but as for you, Daniel, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again. That's the word amad, which means to stand and present oneself for your allotted portion. And that's goral, which means you're going to be compensated. That's the rewards. He will get his rewards at the end of the age. Well, so when is the end of the age? Well, that's the Jewish age, consisting of the missing 7 years of Daniel's 70th week, which ends at the second coming. So this tells you, when will the Old Testament believers receive their resurrection body? At the end of the age, right before the second coming. They'll come back with Christ at the second coming. And when will they be evaluated and get their rewards? At the end of the age. So the Old Testament believers get their resurrection body. We call them Company C. You are in Company B. You will get your resurrection body 7 years before they get their resurrection bodies. Romans 8, 11. But if the Holy Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, and this is the word nekros, which is a general term for physical death, dwells in you, and it is. This is a first-class condition, which means, and it's true. So, but if and it's true, the Holy Spirit who raised, the Holy Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he does. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life zo poieo, which means to produce alive. He will also give life. He's going to produce alive to your mortal bodies. And that's thentos, which means your mortal body's liable to death. But he's going to give you a body that will take the place of the mortal body. And it says, your mortal body, soma, through his Holy Spirit who dwells in you. So the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and provided that resurrection body, we're going to get the same thing. We'll also give life to your mortal bodies. And what type of life? Well, it's going to be the exact same thing that Christ has. A living, resurrection, indestructible body. Hebrews 6, 1-3. Therefore, leaving the elementary archaic teachings about... And, of course, we have these categories here. One, the Christ. Let us press on to maturity. That's the goal for all of us. Press on to maturity. This is the relative side of Christianity. Started as a baby, as we all do. We moved to maturity. Not laying again. In other words, I don't need to go over this stuff again to you. These are basics. And what are the basics for the Christian? Well, the first basic is not laying in a foundation of repentance from dead works. There's that word. Repentance from dead works. In other words, we changed our mind about dead works. We know dead works is worthless. That's a foundational element. And three, faith towards God. This refers to the faith rest technique. Faith rest technique. You claim a promise of God and you rely on the Lord. That's a critical basic doctrine. God cannot lie. Faith towards God. God tells you something, it's going to happen. 4, instruction about Washington laying on of hands. That is rebound. That's the rebound technique. This is what they did. They cleansed themselves. The washings and the laying on of hands. Laying on of hands means what? Identification. The washings, of course, refer to ritual purification in the Old Testament. So they simply use the same terms, and this is a rebound technique. And we know that rebound is an absolute requirement for the church age. It's an absolute requirement for any age. But we have the supernatural booster when we rebound, and this is absolutely 101 basic Bible doctrine. That's what this is, rebound. Excuse me. And 5, the resurrection of the dead. That's a basic doctrine. Anastasis is the word resurrection. And of course, a lot of people in Russia name their kids Anastasia. Anastasis of the dead. This is the dead. These are people that have died. Just a general word for dead. And 6, eternal judgment. And we know the eternal judgment, this stands for what will occur to the unbeliever. It also refers to our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And this we will do if God permits. And of course, we don't know what God's going to permit. We know the directive will of God. He wants you to be a mature believer. So we can pretty much be clued in that God will permit this before he takes us out of this world. But it's always the sovereign will of God, of course. Philippians 3, 20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven. Aranos. We are citizens of heaven. We're on this earth, but this is not our citizenship. From which also we eagerly wait. We're waiting, of course, for the rapture. That's the next event in the church age. For a Savior, Deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ has already come. So we're not waiting for the Savior here in terms of his work on the cross. We're waiting for him to deliver us. From what? From our mortal bodies to the resurrection body, because that's when you get it. When the rapture occurs, those that are alive, which are believers, will be caught up together with those believers that have died in the church age, and we'll all get the resurrection body. So the next thing it says, who will transform, and that's metaschimazio, which means to change the figure of, who will transform the body, that soma, of our humble state, and that's tapiosis, which means our lowest state. Our mortal body is good. It's an amazing machine. 10 trillion connectors in the brain. 10 billion brain cells, and that all just poofity-poof happened through evolution? You got to be kidding me. It's absurd. Evolution, the terms that it's not directed by an intelligence. Now, God uses natural laws, of course, because we were all born as a microscopic 46 chromosomes, and then the zygote, and we developed, so that's obviously something we were created, as Adam was created out of the dust of the ground. So he uses processes, obviously, but they're not mindless processes that just happened here and happened there and it all came together. That's insanity. And yet people believe that insanity. In any event, the body of our humble state into conformity, sum orphos, which means having the same form as another. So what is our resurrection body going to look like? Has the same form with another. Well, what's the other? With the body of his glory, doxa. So we're going to have the same body of his glory, which is his resurrection body, by the exertion, and that's energia, which means working efficiency of the power, dunamai, which means to have inherent power. The inherent power is in God, that he has even to subject all things to himself. Hupotasso is the strongest word for authority. God has the authority to do it, and he will do it. Okay, number 2. The first resurrection will occur in phases. It's for the believer only. Oh, well, is there a second resurrection? Yeah, there's a second resurrection. We're going to categorize these as first resurrection, second resurrection. So the first resurrection is for the believer only, and company A, of course, is Jesus Christ. I use this, of course, Colonel Thiem used the same analogy because he had a military background, so do I. And what you have is you have a parade that goes by the general. The general and all his staff sit in a big stand, and the companies march past the general for review. And police officers have the same thing. You march in review, pass in review. And the first company, A, goes by, and the general looks at him and says, yeah, that's a good company. Company B goes by, yeah, but that lieutenant over there is kind of out of step a little bit. Anyway, they look at the companies as they march by. And when the last one goes by, then the pass and review is done. But the troops practice for the pass and review quite a bit. So that's what we have. We have a pass and review. So 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 26 says, but now Christ has been raised, egairo, which means to cause to rise from the dead, nekros, the first fruits, parke, which means in the agricultural time, of course, they'd go out in the crops and take the first wheat or corn or watermelons or whatever it was, and they'd go back to the master and they'd say, look, here's the first fruits, the crops are coming in. And then they'd say, ooh, yeah, they're just right. Now, if the first fruits aren't just right, they say, well, we've got to wait a little bit, another week in the field before that corn turns just right. But generally, you know when they pick the first fruits, they look it over, and then they go for the whole crop. As Christ, of course, is the first fruits. So he says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who are asleep. And this, of course, is the word to refer to believers. Doesn't mean you're in a state of oblivion. It means you're waiting for your resurrection body. For since by a man, Adam, came spiritual death, thanatos, and that word means death with the implied idea of future misery in hell. You notice that the word dead in the first translation is nekros, and the second translation is thanatos. There's a reason for the difference. The first one means mortal death, the second one means spiritual death. For since by a man came spiritual death. Okay, that's true, because we all inherit Adam's original sin is imputed to our old sin nature at birth. We're born physically alive, spiritually dead, by a man. Jesus Christ is a man. He's true humanity. Also came resurrection, anastasis, which means to rise up of the dead. Again, we have the word nekros, the mortal dead. For as in Adam all die, apothenesco. And this, of course, means the same thing as thanatos, but it means from the ultimate source of spiritual death, apo, when you throw that on there, from the ultimate source of eternal death to be subject to eternal misery in hell. So that's all humans are facing that when you're born. So also in Christ, all will be made alive. Zo poieo, which means to produce alive. But each in his own order, tagma, which is organized as in a body of soldiers, tagma. Tagma, we're organized as in a body of soldiers at pass and review. So each in his own order. Christ, and here's the order. Christ the first fruits. He's already got the resurrection body. He's number one. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. That's parousia, which means arrival, advent. This is not the second coming. Christ will come twice in the future. The first coming is the rapture. His foot will not touch the Mount of Olives. That's how you know it's the rapture. And the predictions are that he will meet us in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. This is the church age. And then 7 years later, he's going to have the second coming. That's what we call the second coming. So the first coming was when he came, of course, to die for the sins of the world. Then you have the rapture, which you could call the second coming. But we don't. We just call that the rapture. And we studied the doctrine of the rapture recently. We know that the word raptura is a Latin word. That's where we get the phrase. But the Greek word means the same thing. So Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ, we are Christ because we are in union with Christ at his coming. And that's the advent. It means arrival or advent. And that refers to the rapture. Then comes the end. Now, telos. There's no I there. Telos. The end of what? The end of the Jewish age. Same thing said to Daniel. Remember, God owes the Jews 7 years. The missing 70th week in the prophecy of Daniel. And that 7 years they will get. And they'll get that 7 years during the tribulation. Then the Jewish age is over. Right now the Jewish age has been interrupted by the church age. When the Messiah was cut off, that clock stopped, just like a stopwatch. Click, that's it. And from then, we have the times of the Gentiles. We're still in the time of the Gentiles. And Jerusalem will be trodden down until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. At the rapture, the Lord lifts the thumb off the stopwatch, and the 7 years that he promised, and he cannot lie, will then again proceed. And so that's what the end. Then comes the end. The end of what? The Jewish age. When he hands over the kingdom of God, the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. And of course, at the second coming, we know what's going to happen. And of course, these words here, kata argeo, which means to derive a force, when he's abolished it, Christ is going to come back at the second coming to kill. And we've seen the description. He's coming back. His hair will be stone white. His eyes will be blood red. A double-edged sword will come out of his mouth. He'll be riding a war horse, language of accommodation, white. And we'll be coming behind him. His robes will be splattered with blood. And he will be coming back to do a number on the unbelievers. Because what the righteousness of God requires, the justice of God will execute. And who is he going to do this number on? Well, all rule, which is arche, which are demon officers, and all authority, exousia, which is demon senior officers, and power. All these demon forces, and you see the same terminology used in the last chapter of Ephesians. That's who our struggle's against. Well, not for long, because all these boys will be knocked off the earth. Satan will be in prison for 1,000 years. All unbelievers are taken off the earth, the whole 9 yards, at the second coming. For he must reign, basileo, to be and exercise kingly authority until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished, kata geo, is death. And that's the last enemy, is death, thanatos. That's our friend, death, with the implied idea of future misery and hell. He's going to get rid of death. Spiritual death will be rubbed out forever. And so we have, breaking it down here, point 2a, company A is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. We have the word order, which is tagma. We just studied that. And that means they're marching past as soldiers in an order. And Christ is the first in the line. Romans 1:14, 1 Peter 1:3, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 2 Timothy 2:8, Mark 16:9-14, Luke 24:1-48, Acts 2:30-34, John 21, and John 22, the whole chapters. Matthew 28. At this time, only Jesus Christ has a resurrection body, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father into the completion of Operation Footstool, which we just studied in 1 Corinthians 15:20-26. He's going to sit there until the second coming, when he comes back to put all the enemies under his footstool, and that's all over. Acts 2:30-32. And so, because he, David, was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath, horkos, and that which has been pledged, and God cannot lie. And what's the pledge? To seat one of his descendants. This is a human. God doesn't sit. If you're going to sit down, you've got to have a human butt. And Jesus Christ, of course, will sit. He's a human. He's a true human. To seat one of his descendants on his throne. In other words, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. He looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection, anastasis, of the Christ. Now, Christ is the Messiah. That word means deliverer. That's the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. He looked ahead. Who's looking ahead? Well, God the Holy Spirit is revealing these things to David. It will happen in the future that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. And that's the word diapathora. That's a tongue twister there. Diapathora, which means decay of the body after death. So Christ is going to be killed. He's going to have this resurrection, but he's not going to be deserted to Hades. What does that mean? Well, we know what it means. Christ went to Hades because, remember, before Christ took the captives out of Hades, which is the compartment of Hades is paradise, if you died in the Old Testament, you didn't go to heaven. You didn't go to Ouranos. You went to a compartment of Hades, which we call hell, called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And Christ, of course, is the Old Testament dispensation. His soul and spirit went to paradise in Hades. And he wasn't abandoned there, though, nor did his flesh suffer decay. So his mortal body was in the tomb. It didn't decay in 3 days. It's still there. In fact, did you know your cells still divide after the soul and spirit depart? Your fingernails and hair still grows a couple days after you're dead. Of course, you won't know that unless you get a dead body and measure it, but it's true for you biologists in the group. So his body didn't suffer decay, didn't rot away completely. And it says, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Martros, which means witness in a legal sense. They all saw him in a resurrection body. We're witnesses. We saw it. Now, people will die for what they believe, but they won't die for a lie. And all the apostles died, except for John, who died a natural death, because their testimony was, we saw him raised from the dead. Now, distinguish that between certain jihadists that will blow themselves up in our culture right now. They'll kill themselves. That means what? Well, they believe that they're going to get certain things when they die. But it's not true. So people will die for what they believe in, and they believe it to the point of death, but they will not die for a lie. They won't. Point B, and this is our last one, we take a break. Point B is B Company. You are a member of B Company, Bravo Company. And so therefore, you get your resurrection body at the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 55, and 57. Philippians 3:20 to 21, 1 John 3:1 to 2, John 14:1 to 3. All church age believers are no longer classified as Jews or Gentiles, but members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:32, Romans 6:5. All will get a resurrection body at the time of the rapture of the church. Paul notes that the rapture could occur at any time, Philippians 3:11, 2 Corinthians 5:2 to 3. The rapture could occur in 5 minutes, the rapture could occur in 500 years. I don't know, you don't know, nobody knows. But we do know what happens when it occurs. We will get the resurrection body. Now, if we die before the rapture, we'll get the resurrection body. If we're alive at the rapture, we get the resurrection body. And that passage, the most detailed passage, is 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17. It says, but we, Paul, that's Paul, the traveling seminary team, do not want you to be uninformed, agnoeo, which means to be ignorant, brethren, about those who are asleep. These are the believers that have died. So that you will not grieve, lupeo, which means to be affected with sadness, as do the rest who have no hope, elpis. You know, the word hope means confidence. Unbelievers have no hope. For if we believe, pisteo, that Jesus died, apothenesco, to be subject to eternal misery in hell, and this is his spiritual death, and rose, and that's anistemi, which means to rise up again. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. That's us, y'all. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, so those who had fallen asleep. See, the believers in Thessalonica were upset, and they wrote Paul a letter, and they said, Paul, we thought when you taught us about the rapture, there was going to be like real soon. But some of the members of the congregation have, you know, died. So what's up? That's why he wrote 1 Thessalonians. So he says, look, for those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, they're believers in the church age. So that's already happened. I got all that, folks. But he says, look, here's what's going to happen. And again, I'm just going to rewind a little bit here. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So we might say to the Thessalonians, people in your congregation that have died already, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. This is Bible doctrine. This is complete authority from the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. That we who are alive. Now, who's alive when Paul wrote this? Paul and the people he's writing to. They're alive. And remain until the coming, parousia, which means arrival or advent of the Lord. This is the rapture. This is not the second coming. The rapture. This means arrival. He's going to come back. Will not precede, and there's that wonderful word, P-H-T-H, pathano, which means to come before those who have fallen asleep. So if you're alive, you're not going to get your resurrection body between before those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, Aranos, with a shout, kleuma, which means an order. So here's the coming that he's talking about, the advent, the arrival. The Lord will descend from heaven. Okay, the third heaven. This is language of accommodation. He will descend from heaven. How far, where is he going to come to, though? Well, let's read on. With a shout, he's going to have an order. With the voice, phone, of the archangel, archangelos, which means the chief angel, and with the trumpet of God. The trumpet means an announcement. That's what trumpets do. They give the charge signal. And the dead, nekros. Ah, there's our first nekros. Not thanatos. That means you're just mortally dead, folks. You're not subject to the eternal misery of hell. That would be thanatos. It's nekros. You just kicked the bucket. So, and the dead in Christ will rise, which means to cause to rise up first. So all the first people that are going to get the resurrection body is the dead in Christ. In this context, the believers in Thessalonica that have died. Then we who are alive, Paul was anticipating that that's me, Zoa, and remain, perilupo, which means to remain over. They're alive right now. They haven't died. They're in immortal bodies. Will be caught up. And that's harpaxo, which means to snatch out of the way. We're going to be snatched right off the earth. Your shoes might even be sitting here as you're snatched up off the earth. Together with them. And that's the dead church age believers, which we just discussed. Where? In the clouds. Jesus Christ is not coming back to the earth at this arrival. He's going to go in the clouds. This would be called the second, the first heaven, which is the atmosphere. That's that thin band of atmosphere around the earth. And that's Nephilim. To meet, anastasis, means to meet one, the Lord, kurios, which means God, Jesus Christ, in the air. And that just means the atmospheric region. A-E-R is the Greek word. That's we call that the, well, we've seen the term used as the first heaven because Paul said, I went to the third heaven, which means there's got to be a first heaven and a second heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth, the air, the clouds, and then when that ends, all the way to the third heaven is the second heaven, which is basically our universe. And so, we shall always, pantote, it means at all times forever, be with the Lord. So this is the rapture. This is the rapture. And we will conclude here and start again with more passages on Company B at part two of the resurrection. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying the doctrines that you have given us today for our daily bread. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us and make these things a source of great blessing and confidence in our lives because we know what you have in mind for us. And we thank you for all that you have done to prepare these things. In Christ's name, amen.